For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Chicago, it's DJ Moore here. I'm glad to be here, excited to be here.
DJ Moore, Chicago Bear wide receiver.
Shoot, they're getting a fun, exciting, energetic person that's just going to come to work every day and not look back.
Second and 12. Comes a blitz with Wagner. Pass is a floater. And it is a completion.
This is incredible. What a catch. What a throw.
DJ Moore chatting it up with Mullin Haw on 670 The Score.
We're going to bear down.
Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to our guy, DJ Moore. And he is brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. DJ, good morning. How you holding up, buddy?
Good morning. I'm holding up well. How are y'all?
Doing all right.
Yeah.
Tough one.
Must have been a long flight home, because that was a tough one, yeah.
Yeah, it was a long flight, but I was asleep, so I had to sleep that one off.
Let's talk about your physical, how you feel this morning, how much punishment you absorbed. A couple times it looked like you were late getting up. It just, you never know, the day after an NFL game, how you feel. You were targeted 9 times, caught 4 passes. How were you physically this morning?
Physically a little sore. That's to come after a game, but I'm all good, though.
You know, I got to tell you, I just wonder what it's like for you in the huddle when you're looking at all these offensive linemen. I know you know everybody on the team, but this is not the group you thought you were going to play with. Seemed like there was a lot of makeshift, and then obviously seeing different players go out. Darnell Wright has been a mainstay, and he was hurt in the game and apparently has an MCL strain. So it's just worrisome, the amount of injuries, and maybe nowhere is that more apparent than, you know, with Braxton Jones out, with Wright going out, with the group that you have on that line.
Yeah, it's tough when you start losing people in key spots, but it's the next man mentality. So whoever the backup is and have to come in the game to be the starter is going to have to play with their A game.
So last week, obviously, there was a lot of conversation, DJ. You were part of it. A lot of the leaders spoke out and in a way that questioned maybe the decision-making process from whether it was Matt Eberflus or Shane Waldron or a combination of both. Where is this team in terms of being together? And obviously, you know how it works in the NFL. You lose 2 games in a row in the manner with which you guys have lost them, and you start to wonder from the outside, has Matt Eberflus lost his football team? So I'll ask you, has Matt Eberflus lost his football team?
I want to say no. The message yesterday was that we know we 4-4 now. It's just like being 0-0. But you just got to go out there and start stacking wins how we did. And that's the best thing we can do is win and then let the chips fall how they fall after we do so.
You know, the big concern coming out of the Washington game was that somehow you may have lost 2 games in one fell swoop, right? That you lost. Not only did you get people injured, but the way you lost that game, the reaction everyone had to it, was going to carry over. Do you believe that the Arizona loss was connected in any way to the failed Hail Mary?
No, I don't think that was connected at all. I think everybody wanted to go out there and just try to get past the losing feeling, especially how we lost to the Commanders, but we ended up losing this game. So we got to really shake back and get out of this losing way that we have right now.
Let's talk about on the field, because the offense started and it looked like you were moving the ball coming out in the first quarter, and there has to be an emphasis on that because of your struggles in the first quarter of games. Up-tempo seemed to work. Was that an emphasis? Do you feel like it's better to start the games maybe going no huddle up, increasing the pace, because Caleb might be better in those situations?
It's whatever it gets us going. You know, the emphasis on us is starting fast, so we got to start fast and just do our jobs, and we got to get a first quarter touchdown in the book soon.
I'm curious, DJ, did you guys feel going into that game that you had an advantage with your receiving core against their corners in particular? And maybe you feel like that every game, but I really thought that the group that you have, your room, was going to be able to dominate them a lot more than you did. And they, you know, went into the game having allowed 52% on third down, and you guys converted 3 of 14. That's 21.4%. How did they get the advantage over you guys? It was just a strange one.
I don't know, but we go into every week feeling like we should be dominating on the outside, and that's just our mentality week in and week out. But on the third down aspect, you know, they did a multitude of things, and they would have, like, five DBs on the field almost all game, because Buddha is just a roamer. He just makes things right. So it's tough to say what coverage they in, because he's just flying around doing his thing.
This segment with DJ Moore is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. So Caleb Williams post-game talked about Matt Eberflus's message to the players and the team, and he also referenced a couple veterans stood up and spoke as well because of the nature of the loss. Were you one of those veterans, and how would you describe the post-game message?
I wasn't one of those veterans. None of the captains really spoke. It was just an open floor thing. Two people had good messages, and we listened to them, and we're going to go from there, because we are 4-4, like what's said in the locker room, and it can go either way, but we wanted to go the right way.
Yeah, I just wonder, do you look at the box score? Are you aware of what's happening in the game? For instance, Cole Kmet wasn't targeted with a single pass, and usually he's a bigger part of it. Now, you know, I get it. You guys were having, as we said, troubles converting on third, but can you believe he didn't get a single pass thrown to him?
I didn't know that. When you dialed into the game and want some plays to happen, you just not worried about what's all going on the field and what's happening, who's getting the ball. You just want to know, like, why isn't it happening.
Right.
So Tyreek Stevenson did not start. He ended up playing more than expected because of the injury to Terrell Smith. And you go back to last week, it was a source of a lot of conversation. And I wonder, as a leader, as a captain, were you involved? Was the leadership council involved in talking to Matt Eberflus about discipline over Tyreek Stevenson in the situation in Washington? And were you comfortable with the way that was handled?
A little bit, but the final say so came from Eberflus, and I think he handled it well. And then when Reek had to go back in the game, he did his thing and proved that he can be the player that he is.
You know, the other strange element of the game was that Caleb Williams ended up getting pressured by 16 different players, according to Next Gen Stats. In other words, he stayed into the game after they had started substituting players. Were you surprised that he kind of finished that game, played the whole game? On television, they were calling for him to come out after Murray came out of the game.
I'm not surprised. We're going to fight to the end, and that's everybody in the organization. Nobody was going to come out, and that was just us as an offense just doing that.
He was sacked 6 times, and it was after they had replaced Kyler Murray. Is it fair to wonder that from the outside? Because it really looked like a reckless decision, because especially when he got up limping.
Yeah, I mean, that could have happened at any point. But I get what the outside may be thinking. And, I mean, everybody just got that competitiveness in them to go out there and try to make something happen, even no matter what point of the game it's at.
Is he okay? Has he stopped limping? Do you know?
I don't know yet. Hopefully he has.
Was he limping on the plane? Did he limp to the bathroom at any point?
He was asleep.
I know. I'm joking. Hey, DJ, I got to tell you, I felt sick to my stomach when I heard that Montez Sweat couldn't go. We were doing the pregame show, and that word broke with the inactives, and I thought, we've talked quite a bit about you being the best player on offense and him being the best player on defense. And with apologies to Jalen Johnson, I know he's a great player too. But it seems like since Sweat came here, that defense has been even better. And then when he was a late scratch, you just kind of felt sick to your stomach.
Yeah, when I seen my Tez not dressed, I was like, what's wrong? But I really don't know what's wrong with Tez. It got to be something that's bothering him, and hopefully we get him back soon.
DJ, I'm sure as a veteran, you've been part of offenses that have struggled and made, subtle changes to the approach with play calling, maybe change play callers in season. Help us kind of sift through this in terms of, obviously, Shane Waldron's been the source of a lot of criticism publicly. And I wonder, how difficult is it to change play callers in season? And is this something that you think is worth considering for an offense that is struggling now?
I don't think that'll happen. We just got to go back to the drawing board and start putting people in different positions to be able to move the ball and just stay on the same page and stick together.
It just felt like nothing was really working for you guys, right? I mean, you weren't dominating with the run. You weren't, really getting a lot going in the passing game. It was just one of those games where it felt a little bit flat. What did it feel like on the field?
It felt at times that we could do certain things, yeah. and then we come back out and we couldn't do those things again. So it's just give and take of the game and knowing how it's going and how we got to go about it.
I wondered about halftime. We talk about momentum all the time, and my sense was watching that after that 53-yard run, the Cardinals seized all of the momentum at that time, and going into halftime, that had to be almost demoralizing. And I just wonder what happened at halftime, and was there a sense that somebody had sort of let the air out of the balloon?
No, nobody had felt like the air was out of the balloon. We knew we were getting the ball back, so we wanted to try go down and score, and then come back out and double dip on the score, so the game would be closer.
I don't know if you saw overnight, but Luke Getsy got fired by the Raiders. They fired the offensive coordinator, their quarterbacks coach, and I think they fired three coaches on offense overnight. Does that send a shockwave when you see, Robert Saleh got fired earlier in the year? You look at what's going on in the league. Do you find that really surprising? Do you wonder what that would be like? And I'm sure you know Getsy. That's a rough one for him.
I've been a part of coaches getting fired mid-year, or at the games like that. So, I mean, it's the business. Owners and organization fans want to win now. So, I mean, it's just all a part of the business.
How involved are veteran receivers, veteran offensive players like you and Keenan Allen, maybe Mercedes Lewis, other guys who have been around for a while, week to week involved in the game planning and maybe they're asking you what you like so you can get, whether it's a scripted first 15 or just kind of get a sense of what you like on certain third down situations with matchups. Are you involved with formulating that game plan on a weekly basis?
No, we get the game plan. We look at it. We go out there and practice it and see how we feel about it. If there's any nuances that we want to add to it, or little special things that we want to do within the route or for the pass game, then that's what we say on the field and just try to go over it in meetings and implement it the next day that we have the same stuff.
DJ, do you monitor the trade deadline at all? Are you interested in, I mean, you got friends all over the league, and I don't know that the Bears are planning on doing anything, but I'm just curious, like, how much, you know, tomorrow is not only the trade deadline, it's the election. Is it a big day for you?
No, I'm not really worried about the trade deadline. I do have friends across the league, but I don't know if they will be traded. And yeah, voting is tomorrow, so I think everybody should go do that.
Have you voted? What is that like for a guy who has residences in probably two different states? And obviously the league has been active in trying to raise awareness and reminding people to get out and vote. From your perspective, how important is it, and what have you done?
Right now, I probably go to the ballots today and knock it out, because I know it's going to be jam-packed tomorrow, and I don't really feel like being in a long line.
You might have to wait in one today. It's going to be pretty busy, I think.
You never know.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think you should have voted in North Carolina, personally. if I had a residence there, that's where I'd vote. But it's I got my vote in on Friday. It's easy to do. Just go down there, get in line, and, you know, it was fairly quick. I didn't have any problems with it. So I encourage you to get that done, and I'm glad that you're encouraging everyone to get out and make a decision.
Yeah, because it's definitely an important one. So I got to knock that out.
Well, that's good. Back to the trade deadline for a moment. When you look at the players that have been moved, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it seems like there have been a lot of wide receivers, some big-name wide receivers on the move. And I'm just curious, when you look at positions that are – is maybe edge rusher might be the easiest position to adapt to. We saw Kem Robinson make his switch, arrive on a Tuesday and start on a Sunday playing left tackle for the Vikings. But why do you think so many wide receivers have been moved this year before the deadline?
Just bringing in help for the quarterback. You can never have too many playmakers on one team, so the pass catchers are where the quarterback's best friend. So I can see that being why there's a spike in receivers being traded.
You had a weird week last week because we talked to you and I didn't think you said anything controversial, whatever. But obviously, you guys had to meet with the coaches, the leadership group, and. And you talked to Hallis Hall, and you said that the message, part of the message, was that everything had to stay in-house. Are you good with that? Do you feel like you've ever said anything kind of out of line? I mean, I didn't think you were out of line at all, but apparently the message is it stays in-house.
I don't feel like I have said anything. Yeah. Out of line or detrimental to the team. So, but I get the message behind it for obvious reasons. But yeah,
I think what Molly's saying is keep talking. Please.
I'm saying, DJ, what is the secret information you're not sharing with us?
Yeah, exactly. You know, yesterday there were a lot of things that were surprising in that game, but the one thing I did not expect to see, DJ, was hail in Arizona. In a building that should have had the roof closed. How surprising was that, and what was it like to play in hail when you're in Glendale, Arizona?
Yeah, it was kind of odd. I thought it was rain at first, and then I just started feeling like the little hail balls hit my helmet, and it was on the field. It was like a good size too, so it was kind of weird, and the roof took forever to close.
You don't expect that.
Yeah, they got to get a new weatherman, don't you think? I mean, they
fire the weather coach.
Yeah, that's right. The weather coach has to go. All right, DJ. Hey, thanks a ton. It's always fun to talk to you. We appreciate you always being there for us on Monday mornings, win or lose. And it's a tough time of year, as you say, so we appreciate it.
Thank you, DJ.
Hey, no problem.
That is DJ Moore, the Bears wide receiver. It's fun. He's a good guy.
Getting ready to go vote.
Always ready to
go. Good example.
Yes.
Good decision. And I hope everybody follows suit, because it's an important election, and you can pretty much expect to wait in line, because they're long.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Like I said, I got it out of the way. We had the whole crew go, and it was fun to kind of – the line didn't feel bad because we could chat away, and I now am ready for the trade deadline. That's really what
that's
my
your focus
is.
That's great.
Yeah. I got that part over. Now I can concentrate.
It doesn't sound like the Bears are monitoring that closely. If DJ Moore's reaction was any indication, don't know if he's not certainly going to be dealt. I wonder if any of his teammates will be. I wonder if any of his wide receiving teammates will be.
I wonder if they sit it out. I mean, would that be saying something? Would there be a message behind sitting this one out? We'll talk to Bigsy about that a little bit later. I'm very curious to get his take on it. You're listening to Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Had to sleep that one off.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
DJ Moore was really good, and I think that this week it will be somewhat quieter at Hallis Hall based on what happened last week, not based on anything he said or told us, but I just feel like last week was cathartic for players to express their views about what went wrong and why. This week, after coming out yesterday, a loss that was less shocking but more alarming than the one in Washington, I think it's going to be just go quietly about your jobs. I just think that's going to be the rhetoric, the tone, and the approach.
Did you think that all the second guessing, all the questionable calls that happened in the Washington game and the player reaction to it, many of whom were captains of the team that were commenting upon it, do you think that helped lead to the failed performance in Arizona?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
But I think that if you are going to be that loud and that open, which I recommend and was fine with,
yes,
you better back it up. And when you don't back it up, then you somewhat lose the right to be as loud because you're going to leave the perception that you can't back it up. And when the Bears did just that yesterday, so our reaction to their loss is that one loss led to two because they complained about things that were wrong, and then they didn't know how to fix them.
It was really interesting to me talking to Pat Manley and Olin Krutz before the game yesterday that they mentioned that there were times in the Lovey era where they really felt like the coach needed a game.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to do everything they could. You know, they played very hard every game, but he had this avuncular sort of hold on that team, and they wanted to figure out a way to help him when he needed it most. And I think they believed that that would be the case in the game with Arizona. I don't think that was the case in the game in Arizona. And I don't think people weren't playing hard for Eberflus, but I don't think he engenders. He seemed to do it with his defense a year ago. I'm not sure if what I'm seeing is so many pinpoint injuries that they just got to a point where there wasn't much you could do.
It's a good observation.
But I wonder what your thoughts are on
that. It's a fair question. I think that just reacting to what you asked, last year was a different team and a different dynamic, and it was, well, let's save my job by becoming the defensive coordinator and the head coach, and I'm developing a better chemistry with this defensive side of the ball, which became elite with Montez Sweat. So there's that bond, there's that connection. And I think last year you saw players maybe, you know, play hard. In large part, we gave credit to Matt Eberflus because of that. It was a defensive-driven team.
Yes.
This year, you draft a number one overall quarterback. He becomes the franchise. He is what this is all about. I don't know the dynamic between Caleb Williams and Matt Eberflus, but I don't know that you often hear something that resembles what we heard last year or what we saw last year in players playing maybe for Matt Eberflus, or he got the best out of them. Caleb Williams and Matt Eberflus don't feel like they're connected at the hip in the way that you want your head coach and your quarterback to be. And I don't think that is something I necessarily know firsthand, but when you're watching and you're listening and you're looking for cues, I do think it's fair to wonder if what you're asking is happening on the other side of the ball. The most important thing is what you want to get out of your quarterback. And is your quarterback in the best situation in terms of a coaching infrastructure to reach his potential? And right now the answer is an emphatic no.
But I would argue, and I agree with you, but I would argue that from a player personnel standpoint, the same thing might hold true in terms of the protection for the quarterback. You know, we know that he was under a lot of stress in that Washington game. They went after him a lot, and he didn't have any time when they pressured him. I felt that there was almost a repeat of that with an Arizona team that was supposed to be first of all, Washington wasn't supposed to be a very good defense. And certainly they were better than they have
bad
been.
Offensive lines can make that's, injured defense look
that's
healthy.
That's where I was going. And is that on the coach? You know, I think
Mully, it's not logically on the coach,
no.
But we're talking about relationship dynamics, which aren't necessarily rooted always in logic. It's result-driven. It's outcome-based. All Caleb Williams kind of knows as a 22-year-old first-time starter in the NFL is that they're not protecting me. This isn't working. It's not going so well. He's taking responsibility for his part in it.
Yes.
But you clearly hear the fact that he is questioning other parts of the operation.
As he should.
Yes.
Yes. And that's why I don't have a problem
with it. That's not a criticism of Caleb Williams. That's just telling you what I'm hearing and how I'm interpreting it.
But the offensive line that they imagined they would have is not the group that they had yesterday. Not by a long shot. They were down both their tackles, one of their backup tackles. I mean, they're down to like... You know, a practice squad
backup
player.
Backups.
Exactly.
Backups don't work.
You know, I mean, okay.
They're employed, but they don't work.
So the big moves they made in the offseason, they made two moves to help their offensive line. They somehow made the trade, and they got Ryan Bates out of Buffalo. That was a guy that they had tried to sign to the contract, and he ended up staying in Buffalo, and they finally got their man. We haven't seen him yet. He was supposed to start at center, and Coleman Shelton was a backup. He was signed as a backup to Bates. And it was weird that they signed Bates because they had just gone through the Cody Whitehair thing, and you wondered, why wasn't he playing center already? Will he have enough time to transition into center? How will that happen? Well, he got hurt, and we haven't seen him. So he's ready to come back now, but he'll be coming back as a guard. Matt Pryor was going to be the swing tackle.
Mm-hmm.
He's now the starting right guard. You know, with Darnell Wright out, with Wade Davis not good enough to play, with Kieran Amagaji was a third-round pick. That's a high draft pick.
Well, that's the two big moves you're talking about. Ryan Bates and Kieran Amagaji.
Yes.
Those were the offseason moves to address the offensive line issues. Amagaji was drafted pre-injured, and Ryan Bates lasted all of two quarters in the season opener, and we haven't seen him since. So you are compromised almost from the get-go on your offensive line. You start from a position of weakness, and you need that to be a position of strength. Nate Davis hasn't worked out. That's a miss for Ryan Poles. So now you're stuck. You're halfway a season to go. Expectations remain high. They've been adjusted and readjusted, but I don't know how you get out of this hole that you've dug for yourself.
Yeah, and I don't know how the coach gets out of it, if I may include him now in that. But, you know, we're sitting there and we're talking about the coach. The offensive line has been a problem since the year began, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And because you couldn't, you didn't, the guy that you went out and you traded for wasn't able to stay. He wasn't able to practice early. So you never saw him at center at all. And, you know, and
that's a big concern, as we'll get to the phone calls. But yeah. Caleb Williams, the last 2 weeks, has not been consistent. And he has taken, you know, the steep roller coaster ride that Matt Eberflus wanted to keep him off of has now started to go the other direction. And that's got to stop because he's got to be more accurate than he has been. He was not accurate yesterday. The downfield passing game was missing as a result, and that's something to keep an eye on.
Let's try Maurice. He's in Bellwood. Hey, Maurice.
Good morning.
Morning.
What's up, Maurice?
Hey, how you doing? I think the one of the major issues is that the Bears, all their draft picks have been bad. The media tries to make excuses for that. I think you try to insult our intelligence. All their draft picks are lousy. And then I don't know what the ballerina are going to do when Green Bay, Vikings, and Detroit come. I have no clue because y'all swore up and down he was the savior.
Who?
That this boy was the savior.
Caleb?
Yeah, the guy that paints his nail? Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Maurice. Appreciate the phone call. Did he call him a ballerina?
I think he did. You know what? I hate to say this. When he said the ballerina, I thought Kyler Gordon.
I did too.
I did.
I thought he was.
Because he was legitimately, he did perform ballet.
Yeah. Kyler Gordon was very athletic and balletic.
And he's also, you know, the martial artist.
He's a man of many talents.
That's right.
Just get him back on the field.
It would help. But I didn't understand what he meant there. It was pretty funny. Al's on the Odyssey app. Hey, Al.
Hey, thank you guys for the time. I just want to make quick 4 points, and I'll jump off. First, you know, this crisis that we have is the creation of Ryan Poles. The original mistake was keeping Matt Eberflus last year, and then you get the, you know, keeping Simo, and then keeping Waldron, and then hiring Waldron. So those are all mistakes. So I don't want us to gloss over that. That was Ryan Poles' fault. Number two, you know, when I see from outside, of course, Ryan Pace and Cunningham, they look like fire and ice. So they work together well, but there's a lot of ego with them. And probably, rightfully, but they probably thought they could patchwork an O-line together. So we have problems with O-line depth, D-line depth now. Replacing Billings is going to be a monster. Mm. Good luck. And then number three, you know, one thing they've got right is Caleb. He is the right quarterback. He's got a good head. He's going to be a good leader. And I think we've got a franchise guy. And the last thing, and I'll jump off, and I thank you for the time. We need a head coach who's got bona fide, you know, oomph, a real good head coach. Somebody like who's got experience. Somebody like a Vrabel who hired good O-line coordinators like LaFleur or maybe Stefanski. You'd probably get fired this year. So, you know, those are things. That's the direction we need to go. We need to get established people. We need to get people who need us to get us where we need to go. No more playing around. No more first-time hires.
Thanks, Al.
Thanks, Al.
Appreciate the phone call. I don't disagree with a lot of what he said.
No.
I also am a believer that Caleb Williams, even though he's not the best rookie quarterback in this class this year, halfway through the season, he's a bigger part of the solution than he is the problem. And I know that might not be easy to say the Monday after he's had maybe two straight disappointing games, but I do think that they're going to be somebody that he's going to be somebody they follow into better times and better seasons. Might not be this one, but I do think he's the right guy.
Zach is in Rockford. Hey, Zach.
What's going on, guys? So two things. So last year, Cole Kmet, within the first, I believe it was 5 or 6 games, he had almost close to 60 targets. That was last season. This season, we're 8 games in. He has 30 targets, none yesterday, which blows my freaking mind. Okay, I counted at least 10-plus times he's wide open, and they're just not throwing it to him. I don't know if he's being punished because he's been the most vocal. I don't know if he just doesn't have a good connection with Williams. But there were times when Williams ran 10 yards back out of the pocket. Cole Kmet is sitting 10, 15 yards ahead of him, wide open. He's waving his freaking hands, and they're not even passing it to him. The locker room is dead. It's gone. You can thank our fabulous coach for that. Then you got Ryan Poles. If I'm Ryan Poles, I'm waiting for Waldron and Eberflus at the freaking airport and tell them to pack their stuff and be gone. Yeah,
well, they landed in their back, and he didn't do that. But thank you for the call. I'm really confounded by the idea that they purposely were punishing Cole Kmet and did not pass to him. This is apparently making the rounds. We had a call about it earlier.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Just so you know, you got to win in the NFL. You can't punish people if it's going to cost you a game. If the idea that somehow they communicated, don't get the ball, hey, everyone, turn your back to Colt. There's not a chance. You can't do that. If you didn't put him in the game, okay, maybe something's going wrong.
If you discipline him that way,
yes,
that's understandable. But if he's active.
You can't look at him and then goes to someone else. That's absurd.
If the guy is in uniform and on the field, no offensive coordinator is going to get into his feelings about ignoring a target.
Oh,
that was just
that's mindless.
That provides an excuse where one really doesn't exist, because you need to figure out a way to get your tight end the football, and has nothing to do with feelings.
312-644-6767. Anybody got any more goofy conspiracy theories we can debunk for you? That is not, they did not purposely not throw to the guy. Mully and Haw on the Score.
I think we were all receptive to it. I think there was a few guys that stepped up, and after Coach Flus talked, Coach Flus mainly talked about us staying together. Obviously, these losses are tough. It's hard to, it's not much to say after. We all got to be better, and that was his message. And he was speaking to coaches himself, and us players, and so. That was his first message, and then after that, a couple of guys stepped up and spoke and said, we got so much ahead of us. We still have so many games left. Right now, we're 4-4, 0-0, and so it's the beginning of the season again, and we got to figure out a way to, string together some wins.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, 4-4, 0-0. I don't think that equates. I think the fact of the matter is that you had a three-game winning streak, and now you've lost two in a row. And
mm-hmm.
you've lost a lot of the ground that you had built up.
Evaporated.
And I think it's, I felt going into that game it was a critical point in the season. And unfortunately, they didn't play particularly well in any area. But David, I want to get back to this idea that somehow they decided to freeze out Cole Kmet. If that's the case, then people have to go.
Embarrassing giving voice to.
It's crazy.
It to think that somebody's popularity, or that would be a punitive measure, him being on the field but ignored. How many coaches who called plays for, let's say hypothetically, or just as first thing that popped into my head, how many coaches like Brandon Marshall who could be difficult to coach? He caught 970 passes. He was rarely ignored. Yeah. Rarely ignored.
They didn't freeze him out.
I can think of weeks, and I know you can too, that were more tumultuous because of Brandon Marshall during the week, and then on Sunday all was forgiven and forgotten, and he needed to get open for the Bears to move the ball. I just think it's kind of silly to think that Cole Kmet, it's more of an indictment on the overall game plan. If you want to stay there, stay there. Shane Waldron needs to figure out how to get out of his own way, because this offense is broken. And now we have seen it's not about imbalance, this or that. They're not scheming guys open. They're not targeting the right receivers. They can't protect the quarterback. Maybe it all starts there, but this is an offense going nowhere.
I am convinced, David, maybe I'm wrong. I am convinced that they thought they could do a lot against that Arizona defense. I feel like they felt they had an advantage with their wide receivers against that secondary. Buda Baker aside, he's all over the field, as DJ told us. But I think they felt that with their receivers, they were going to have a big passing day. And for whatever reason, whether it was the accuracy of the quarterback early, whether it was the failure of the offensive line early and late, and the amount of hits that he was getting, whatever it might have been, it never materialized. And, when a team is allowing 52% conversion rate on third downs, that means you're going to score points against that team. And they got three field goals. They couldn't get to 10 points. It was a terrible performance by the offense.
Caleb needs to be more accurate. Keenan Allen can't drop passes on third down. And the offensive line needs to make room for Caleb to have time in the pocket. Early on, he had time. But he wasn't sharp after the first quarter.
I agree with you. Let's get back to the phone lines. We've got Jeff in Warren. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Good morning, fellas. I got a question on overtime. So overtime will be a 10-minute period with each team. If the first team scores a touchdown, the game's over. But if they kick a field goal, the second team gets a chance.
Yeah.
Well, one game yesterday, the team used up like 8 minutes. And they ended up scoring a touchdown, I think. But they said the other team was only going to get like 2 minutes. So that's not really fair. What if they'd gone used up all 10 minutes and kicked a field goal or even not even made it? Would the second team have gotten a chance?
It's a good question. Yeah. Teams, it goes 10 minutes, and that the game remains tied after the extra 10 minutes. The game ends up in a tie. Both teams have two timeouts. If it had been a walk-off, if first possession lasting 10 minutes, I'm not sure that they have gotten that far in the rule book in terms of considering it. We'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Good question. We don't have an answer for.
Let's try Don. Don's on the west side.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I wanted to just start with three things. I'm going to go Ryan Poles, coach, and players, and I'm going to get out of here let you guys talk.
Okay.
So I feel as though, with Ryan Poles, man, you get the quarterback. You got to build a team that's going to take him out of the mold that he was at USC. You know he's a big play hunter. So it's like when you give him this bad offensive line, you give him weapons, and you tell him you get these expectations on him. Of course, he's going to big play hunt because he's playing from behind. He feels as though everything's on him. He has to make up for it, in my opinion. Matt Eberflus. When you have players like Tyrique Stevenson, I don't know if it's true or not, but they said he pulled himself out of practice, all of that, temper tantrum.
Yeah, and then he came back. Whatever. Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like that right there, you wouldn't have played, you wouldn't have practiced until you get your mind together. Mike Tomlin, okay, just for example, he said the standard is a standard. He's a player coach, but he said the standard is a standard. Juju Smith-Schuster with all the TikTok social media crap, he was out of that locker room eventually on another team. Just saying.
Great point, Don.
Great point, Don.
Appreciate the phone call.
Great call, as always. Yeah, it's fun stuff.
Listen, accountability.
We're going to bring in our guy, Brad Biggs. We're going to talk to Biggs about all these things, and we'll get his take on what he saw in the locker room. Biggs time next. It's Mully and Haw. It is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.